And with his gift, James Van Praagh is able to help steer us through this entire field of children and parents and deceased with his work Growing Up in Heaven. And we'll be back with his final phone calls, your calls with him on Coast to Coast AM. What's the secret of the book, James?
I have the book right in front of me.
Me too. Tell me about the secret you said.
Well, it's something which happened when I was writing this book. Like I said earlier tonight, I never know what's going to happen once I sit down with this after meditating. I have an outline, but then really spirit just speaks about it. And at the end of the book, there was a situation where it brought back a complete memory when I was 8 years old. And I was in class, and this little boy, spirit boy, came to the window in a Little League outfit. And I'm like, what are you doing here? He said, I died on the second base. I was hit by a ball, and I died.
Oh.
And this is how I joined Little League, because I wanted my father to be proud of me. Okay? That's what he was talking about. Died in the fifth inning. And I said, what exactly are you doing here? And he said, I'm growing, growing, growing. And I'm reading just a little bit from the book because I want to remember everything. Most people can't see who they really are on earth, but in heaven they can. At this point, I asked him to leave, but he insisted on telling me something more. He said, I was just like you. I was afraid of letting people down. After I left Earth, I realized the only reason I wanted to join Little League and play ball was for my father to love me more. And then he went on. He said, my soul had to be born with my parents because they would give me the possibilities to learn about one of the windows of my soul. He said, I did not know what that meant, but I just felt he was telling me that his parents were there to give him opportunities so he could learn about himself. And I felt from this communication that they had done just that. Well, what happened then was, George, he said, I want to show you something about what I said before. It's what your soul looks like. And I had not remembered that until I sat down in this book. And on the last page of the book, you can see what the soul looks like, what this young man projected into my head. And if you can see on page 108, 208, it's a square with diamond shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those little fragments represents a lifetime.
Each one?
Each one.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
So there are many.
So it's a piece of the whole. Yeah, sacred geometry.
That's what it's all about.
And that came to me. I mean, I still was 8 years old. That did not come to me until about a year ago when I was writing this book. That vision came to me, and I insisted the publisher put this in because more people need to know what the soul, you know, we talk about the soul. What does it look like? And then during my near-death experience 4 years ago, it was very, very similar to this, very, very much the threads and all connected, and it's very diamond-like, if you will, and that were just fragments. Each lifetime is a fragment of that soul. So I put that in the book. I thought people would really enjoy that.
Have you ever been, like, ready to go to sleep and the spirits bother you to the point where you can't sleep?
No. I have my own obsessive compulsiveness in my head. That's
yeah,
my
you don't need that.
No. Did I get everything done? Do I have to do this tomorrow? Do I make that phone call? Yeah, I have the normal everyday type of thing. I've never had the spirits bother me like that. I've been more about, you know, I just want to make sure everything's been done during the day.
To the phones we go. Canby, Oregon. Lisa, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, James.
Hi, Lisa. How are you this morning?
Great. I talked to you last time you were on air.
Oh, did you get through last time? Great.
That's pretty good
odds.
Yes. Wow.
So I was really happy to be able to get on tonight because
I'll be up there in Oregon or Grants Pass. I'll be there in October.
Actually, I'm about 20 minutes out of Portland, south.
Well, then I'll see you at Grants Pass. Perfect.
That's a little bit of a ways, but...
Yeah, you can make it. I'm going 3,000 miles.
That's true. Okay. My question is, and like George said, I'm not sure if it's intuition versus just, like, thoughts that are, you know, transferred in from, you know, Earth to real or not, but I believe in... my past life that I had six children, and I couldn't tell you what area, what country, what language or anything. My eldest son was six. His name was John. My youngest daughter was still breastfeeding, and my husband had went into town with the two horses to get supplies, and when he came back, he had found us all dead of, I think it was yellow fever or some plague or something that had swept across, and there was no notification or, you know, courier or no way to communicate that it was coming or anything. Mm-hmm. And the upset of me losing my eldest son was the last one to die, and I was so upset and just I mean, I had that, my will was gone, and I gave up. I gave up my fight, and I could see him coming back, and I could see the grief and feel what he felt. And my question is, and I think in this lifetime, I intentionally chose not to have children because I've learned that lesson, and I know what you're saying, George, about the worst thing a parent could go through.
Oh, sure.
And I know that pain. I've lived it. I felt it, and I didn't need to have to go through that again in order to learn that lesson. And
it's such a strong emotional lesson, isn't it?
If it's true and not just it wasn't like a regression, or it's just something I've always known.
It's a soul memory. It's innate within your soul fabric.
But are any of my children somehow maybe connected to me in this lifetime?
Oh, definitely.
Or,
oh, definitely.
I don't know how, nieces or nephews. I was asking you about my cat.
You should read the book, because there's a whole section about soul groups in there and what that incorporates, and who in your family unit, whether it's animals, whether it's relatives, whether it's your children. It's all a part of that. So you should read that. It's in there, soul group. And that's a part of your soul group, definitely. We come back at soul groups, including animals.
Do you find that children and animals, their souls somehow migrate to each other?
Oh, yes, because it's so pure. They have that pure light, if you will.
I would think so.
They have that sense of knowingness. And again, I always feel it's that knowingness should come in with that purity, and you're taught around the age of 7, 8, 9, no, you're not supposed to do this, and it kind of, your light gets dim down and become dumb, really. And then you get into that rational mindset of thinking, intellectualizing, and you lose a part of that emotional, spiritual connection until you either get on your path and remember who you were as a child, or you live that intellectual life, and that's the way, black and white, that's how you look at the world, become very cynical, until you pass out of the body into this dimension, and then you go back to that purity. Oh, that's right, I'm a spirit.
Was there ever a point in your life, ever, where you doubted what was on the other side?
Sure, growing up. I mean, I didn't believe in this necessarily, honestly. I really didn't. It was just a matter of just ignorance. It was just ignorance I hadn't learned yet. But no, when I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, I asked God to reveal itself. And, in my bedroom, I definitely had an awareness of an apparition coming through the ceiling. And it was more of a sensation and a feeling of, a totality, a wholeness of pure love that I knew. It was like, oh yeah, that's right. And I knew that it was real.
All right. Next up, we go to Brian in Monroe Township, New Jersey, east of the Rockies. Brian, thanks for holding.
Hi, George.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
How are you, James?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Okay. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for being here.
My aunt's going to be so thrilled when I tell her tomorrow that I got through to you. She's in Long Island. You're going to be in New York. You're in New York.
I'm going to be in Westbury in Long Island in August. It's going to be a big one.
Okay, great. I'll try and get down there for that.
Please.
This has actually been a rough year so far. My aunt actually lost her son, my cousin, in February. And early this month, we lost my brother.
Wow, transformations.
Yeah. My brother said that he had a dream about him. And I just want to know, how do you confirm if it's just a dream or if it's actually him coming through?
This connection.
Know?
Yeah.
There's definitely dreams. We have dreams. We know what they're like. We all have those types of dreams. But then there are, I call them crossovers, where the spirit appears to that person, and it's so real. It's like, wow, I can reach out and touch them. And it just becomes a whole multi-sensory, like, you're part of that experience, and you feel them. They're just right in front of you. And there's definitely a difference. You've had them, though, Brian, haven't you?
Sure. Sure.
We've all had those. Another way for spirit communicate, the number one way they can communicate is through the dream state, because we're not in the rational mindset.
Yep.
So that's the number one way. So I'm sure that real dream was very
real. It might be the easiest way.
It is the easiest way. You bet it is the easiest way.
Yep. We have Jennifer in San Antonio, Texas, first-time caller. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad to get through to you. I had just a comment. When I was a little girl, all my years growing up, I told my mother that I was going to be dying at the age of 24 and that she needed to prepare and I needed to prepare for what was to come, because I knew at 24 I was going to die. And I grew up worried because I was wondering what was going on with me, that I could see, you know, the other side. I could see spirits. I could see relatives that I didn't know were relatives at the time. But as I grew up, at 24, actually, I had surgery. And apparently I died on the table.
Interesting.
And my mother was a nurse, and so when I came out, they told her I was dead, completely dead for 3 minutes, and I came back. Now, after that, I could completely see these, beings, you know, spirits.
Spirits, yeah.
Around me, and I could feel my grandfather, and I was able to tell my grandmother. He came to me with my uncle, who had passed away, her son, and also her daughter, who was about 3 years old, who had passed away. They all came to me at once, and I was able to give her information to let her know when her brother was going to die and that she would be dying in 2 years and that she needed to go to the doctor because something was wrong with her. And it all came about. The question I have is, I do a lot of genealogy work, and it scares me sometimes because I end up getting a lot of from the other side, people from the other side that want to communicate, and I get scared. But
well,
I do notice that when
about.
I'm
it's a matter of controlling it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I do notice that when I'm as spiritually in tune and I'm doing what I'm supposed to, and I'm you know, being a good girl, in other words.
Yeah.
I feel them a lot more. But when I go off the deep end, I feel that I don't have that. And there's a key word that you used was discernment.
Discernment, exactly right.
Yes, and that's what triggered me to call you, because you are so right. I have strong testimony of what you're saying, and I believe what you're saying, and I think it's great that you have that
ability.
Let
me just help you out by saying that you are in control of it, number one, but you have to be the active part of it, which means that you have to be in control where you meditate or you put yourself in a certain position where you're in charge, that they're not in charge. And when you're ready to speak, you open up and then you communicate with them. Otherwise, they will take over, and you don't want that because they can, you know, drag your energy and attach themselves to you. You don't need that. Hello.
You know what I have found to be fascinating about this entire discussion tonight too, James, is that so many people have gone through so many tragedies in their life, yet they still pick themselves up.
Yes.
And I think that's so critical, isn't it?
Yes, the soul is really resilient, is really what it is. It's resilient, and these lessons are hard this time around, very, very hard ones. But, yeah, I think there's an inner knowingness, an inner light, an inner awareness that most people have, whether it's conscious or not, that they go to, that they know exists.
Mm-hmm. North Hollywood, California, it's Greg's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good evening, everybody.
Yeah.
I was wondering if James can tell me who or what may be guiding me more, if he can sense this. Since I was a little kid, I was raised in a lower middle class family and typical childhood and all. And when I hit 9 years old, I was in an accident riding a bicycle down a 150 degree angles hill where all the bicyclists would gather. And I was knocked unconscious from a fall there. The bike flipped over or something happened to me. And I was unconscious for 3 days. But ever since then, looking back, I have pretty good memory of following my life's history. I've noticed strange things happen as I went through life. When I asked former classmates whatever happened to the kid that used to pick on me, they said, oh, well, he got hit by a car and he's walking down the street talking to himself.
Oh, wow, powerful.
And then I'd say, well, where's my old girlfriend from grade school? They said, well, she OD'd and she's no longer with us. And I said, what about so-and-so and so-and-so? And they said, oh, they were in a drug ring and, you know, in rehab now and all this. So as I progressed, you know, just I've noticed strange things happening and
the vibration changes, and the vibration around you changes, but the energy around you changes, which means the people around you will change. If they're not at the same vibration that you're at, they'll be gone out of your life. That's why I always tell people, love yourself, love yourself, love yourself. Say, health am I, happy am I, holy am I. And when you direct love toward yourself, toward your being, it changes the whole energetic feel around you, and people won't stay in your energy field much longer. I don't know. Does anyone play a violin around you at all? It might sound very, very weird.
Well, I am in the entertainment business.
You are. I keep on seeing a gentleman around with a violin. So I don't know if you've heard a man playing a violin or there's something significant with a violin.
I was a fan of Jack Benny's.
Okay. But I just get there's a man around you with a violin who looks after you. So I don't know if you're a relative or someone else. But
no, that's another interesting thing because nobody in my family was in the entertainment industry.
Right.
So I've kind of like ever since.
So it's
like
separated from your family. It's a guide with a violin. I just got to tell you that.
Right. And
I don't think it's Jack Benny, but I definitely think it's a guide who shows me a violin. A gentleman who what year was this fall did you have?
68.
Funny. I'm going to tell you what I got. This sounds very strange, but I'm going to spit it out because as a medium, you got to do that. Gentleman Jim.
No.
Gentleman Jim. So look that up, Gentleman Jim. I know there's a boxer, Gentleman Jim, but I get Gentleman Jim and plays the violin.
No. I mean, something like that because, as I say, my memory of people I've met and all that because that's another thing. If
I don't know if you met him. I think he was a spirit.
Oh. No, I wouldn't know where he's from then.
Yeah.
But,
look up Gentleman Jim.
But yeah, so, and I also noticed in my later life now, you know, like I had acting coaches that were pretty prominent, and now when I go to say, can I get some advice from them? Well, they're gone. They've passed on. So I was in various. Pardon?
Do you sing at all?
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I just get a hit, like you should do some music up.
I sing in characters, like for animation.
More music stuff coming your way. I like music.
Well, I enjoy that too.
I like it a lot.
I can't do like a professional.
You do as much as you can.
Singer.
Go right ahead.
I'm not going to say can't. Well, yeah. But I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
If that's what you're saying is around me, but I'll look into it.
Yep, definitely.
Thank you so much, folks.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. Gentlemen, Jim, by the way, James Corbett, boxer, died in 1933. How about that?
Interesting.
All kinds of information.
Gentleman
Best known
Jim,
person he defeated? John Sullivan.
Huh.
Hmm.
Interesting.
For a little boxing trivia for somebody.
I wonder if he played the violin. Now, that would be interesting.
Did he play the violin?
That would be really interesting.
If he played the violin, you're on to something here.
We got to find out if he played the violin, because that's pretty good.
We'll check into that during the break.
Wow.
That would be weird.
Yeah, really weird.
Says his cousin was Stradivarius. No, I'm kidding. All right, we're going to take some more phone calls, final calls, when we come back in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM with James Van Praagh. His website, vanpraagh.com, vanpraagh.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We're talking about his latest work, Growing Up in Heaven. Of course, he's got a couple others out there as well, Unfinished Business and Ghosts Among Us. And he is a world-renowned, famous medium of our time. And he's with us right now on Coast to Coast AM. And if you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. When we come back in just a moment, I'll tell you what's in store for tomorrow night's Coast to Coast edition. And then we'll take final phone calls. We'll be right back. On our next Coast to Coast program, Richard Minotaur joins us. We're going to be talking about the mastermind of 9/11 and some other issues. Fascinating program. His work is called Mastermind. We'll be back in a moment with James Van Praagh, and we'll take final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome up as we talk about growing up in heaven with James Van Praagh. Let's go to final phone calls. You ready for him, Jim?
I am.
Here we go. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Lori, west of the Rockies. Thanks for holding, Lori.
Hi, George. Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, James.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. My question was, I'm just very curious. I've had four losses in the womb. My eldest was 8.5 months in the womb. And I lost all of them. And I was wondering, how did they make their way? And...
Well, in a situation like that, Lori, when it's a natural abortion, which is what it is, natural,
right.
In some ways it's preparing the area for the spirit. And because you've never had a child at all, full birth?
No. And I was wondering, what lesson was there?
Right. So in those situations, that's definitely past life situation, no doubt about it. It's past lives where it could have been in a past. I can't say exactly until we did a regression, but it could be where you had a past life where you had children and you gave them up, and this time you couldn't have them. Mm. So it could be that. It could very much be that way. When I've had past experiences with clients, similar things have happened.
I love them so much, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, it's a balance. There's always a balance. There's always a, you know, balance of experience, if you will.
Well, I thank you, but I've filled my life with four-legged babies now.
Well, same with me.
Nothing wrong with that.
Children too, and Spirit said, no, the world is your children. And I didn't know 20 years ago, 30 years ago what that meant. Now I know what it means. And, you know, we have more love to give out to other ways we're meant to do this time around.
James, at what point do you think the soul enters the body?
Oh, good point there, George. Good question. I think that the soul is very involved in the pregnancy in that it helps the mother, it inspires the mother toward the latter part of the pregnancy. It goes in and out of, if you will, of the embryo. It goes in and out and kind of inspires mom to eat well, to take care of the body. I know during a regression that I had that my mother was drinking at the time, and I felt it in the womb, and I felt this acidy sense.
Mm.
And I kept on saying to her in my mind, don't do that to us, don't do that to us. It seems that the baby, that soul, goes in and out through the latter part of pregnancy, and the last 3 months, when it's actually the physical baby is born, it seems that it takes 3 months, and at the end of the third month, the child will stay, the soul will stay in the body. And the last place it, of course, goes out in and out is the top of the head, the soft spot.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point. Kettle Falls, Washington, Mary's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Good to have you.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I had a son that hung himself.
Uh-huh.
And I was checking to see if he had any messages for me.
Ah, what's his name?
Mike.
Mike.
Michael.
That's being marked.
When did this happen?
It's been about 15 years ago.
Was there a girlfriend around?
No, he was gay.
He was gay. Was there a relationship he was involved in or wanted
yes.
to be involved in?
Yes.
Yeah. I got to tell you that I feel that it involved some kind of emotional upset and that there's a relationship upset or emotional upset, and this was a result of emotional upset and that he knows better now. You have a garden for him?
Pardon?
You have a little garden for him?
No.
No? Oh, okay. I don't know if you have a rose bush or a garden or something, but he refers to that. But it definitely was an emotional problem.
Okay.
It was not your fault.
Could you
Does he have
possibly
a sister?
Tell me? Pardon?
Does he have a sister?
No, he has a brother.
A brother. Did the brother get married?
Not yet. Well,
oh,
yes,
well.
He did. But he's divorced and engaged again.
Well, there'll be a marriage coming up for a brother, and I know that your son that passed over helped influence some wedding or some marriage.
Oh.
Mm-hmm, I know that.
Great.
Yep. You'll know it when you see the wedding. Let me just tell you something. When you see this wedding happen, there'll be certain things during the wedding ceremony or the reception that you know it's your other son's spin on things. You'll just know. You'll just know.
He's going to crash the wedding party.
Yeah, I don't know. There'll be certain things you'll know that it's him involved.
Okay, Mary. Good luck to
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Mary.
Take care. Skype caller, Suzanne in Santa Barbara, California. Hi.
Hi.
There you
hi,
go.
Suzanne.
Thanks for holding in so long there.
Oh, thank you guys so much for letting me be on the show. This is a dream come true.
Oh, thank you.
So I had a son, Ian Ashley, who died 5 years ago at the age of 23. And he died either of a suicide or an accidental overdose.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. And he had struggled with a mood disorder for about 9 years, but was finally finding his self-love and finding his way into manhood. But he got one dirty test, you know, after one night's relapse. And he hadn't expected this test, and so that it was going to show up dirty like that. And he was just overcome with despair and fear that he was going to be sent to prison because, you know, ever since Nixon started his war on drugs 40 years ago, you can be sent to jail or prison just for using drugs in America. And so a number of other young adults died that winter in Santa Barbara, and some of us moms got together and decided to that we just couldn't let this go on anymore because we compared notes and we'd all been through the same struggle to help our kids get treatment instead of jail. And I just have this, we started an organization called Families Act, and we're working, you know, in our community and beyond to try to turn this whole system around so that people who are going through adolescence and going through depression and mood disorders can get help. But what I have a sense that my son has helped me with this.
Yes, can I just say something to you very much so that, and thank you for calling, and you brought to a great point, and spirits will often talk about it. They say many times, continue life like we would be alive and honor me, and you've done just that. What parents can do is honor their child in a certain way to carry on the legacy, and you've done that. And many times parents, you know, children pass over, so the parents will do something, make a difference in the world. Mother's a drunk driver is a great example as well. There are things that they will do, whether it's even writing books or helping somebody else, which this death, the death itself creates something to happen. So thank you on his behalf for really helping other people.
Absolutely. As you have looked at all this, these different facets of death, and the one with the children, tell me about the animals that are involved with these kids. I mean, do they hang around them too? You know, if they had a favorite little puppy and it died.
Sure, George. Many animals come and get the children. Very much so. It's easier for the passing, if you will, although children pass easily. You know, when you see a dog sleep, they leave the body so quickly. It's amazing. Within seconds, they leave the body. Because it's very natural. It's very pure. And children will often be met by animals or go to a reception where animals are there.
Mm-hmm.
You know how happy a child is when they have a puppy. Imagine going to a place where there are puppies there for them, and they recognize pure love. You know, when I say recognize pure love, I notice the love in you, you notice the love in me. That's pure love. And I think that's what happens. I think there's that innocence, that's that purity. And I say it's kind of dirty and ugly when we come back to this earth. You know, we don't see truth. But children are very open to animals. Sure, they help. Animals are wonderful healers, pure healers, and great teachers of us.
Let's go to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Byron, first-time caller. Hi, Byron.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure,
hi,
my
Byron.
Pleasure.
Hi, James. Hi, George. My question is, my mother died over 20 years ago from a brain tumor. And through my life, I've always felt this kind of a disconnect, like I was forgetting her. And of course, now I have a little over a 3-year-old daughter, and I see in her now that she can communicate more. Just some of my mom, just with the way things that she says, the things that she, you know, her actions are talking. I guess my question is, can our loved ones from our past talk through our children and communicate with us, and how can we be receptive? How can I be receptive of that? Because I feel like if kind of lost a little bit.
Okay, let me help you with that. Number one, let me just throw this at you. It's esoteric, but try to take it in. There's an aspect of the soul of your mother that could also be the aspect of your daughter. So there's a part of her which would be part of your daughter, okay? Because we're all part of one soul group. So you will see characteristics, you'll see personality things which remind you of your mom. So yes, did your mother come back as your daughter? Could. Part of her could, for sure. There are things you can do as far as if your daughter is communicating with your mom. You can ask her, you know, who is that? What does she say? Are there any messages she has? And you can really encourage her about her intuition, about her insights of things. That will help.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you. Yes.
And ask her if she has a message for you, too. Ask your daughter, does mommy have a message for me?
Laura's in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
I had a question about my mother in particular. She passed away back in October, and I was there, you know, when she passed.
Good for you.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to be there because I wasn't there for my dad.
Yep.
And she was terrified.
Uh-huh.
And that has always bothered me. But I noticed when she slipped into a coma, she was, like, talking and doing things that, I mean, her eyes were closed.
Right.
But she was saying,
right,
where's Stephen, which that's my brother who passed away 10 years
right.
ago.
He was there.
Right. And then she asked for Penny. Penny was her dog that she had like 50 years ago.
Uh-huh. Sure. Sure. And my father was also in a coma, sweetheart, before he passed for 2 days. Mm-hmm. And he was more alive in that coma than he was when he was alive. They slip in and out of the body. The consciousness slips in and out of the body during coma, and they see loved ones. I remember asking my father it's okay to pass, and he was communicating with me in the coma state. And he said, "When your kids don't fight about the house, I'll pass." and we agreed not to fight about the house, and he passed 5 minutes later. So they're very, very aware, and they're not traumatized whatsoever once they're out of that physical body. It's quite the opposite. And you should feel joyful, because they do once they leave that body. They feel very, very joyful.
Yeah, even though she was hard of hearing, I mean, she can still hear us.
Sure. That's a physical trait. Remember, that's a physical trait. Just like language, it's a physical trait. So spirit is beyond that. Spirit hears thoughts. So she hears your thoughts all the time.
Yeah, because everybody kept telling me she was hanging on because of me.
Well, you know, you are very connected with her, and she loves you, and, you know that she's around. You know, she has her things to do, but she loves you. That love continues on. The bonds of love are the strongest.
Rapid-fire calls here. We'll take as many as we can before the clock gets us. Richard's in Las Vegas. Hey, Richard, go ahead.
Hey, Pat. Thanks, George. Sure. This is a beautiful program. Thank you, Mr. Von Prague, for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm very concerned. I've had a girlfriend that I had for a long time who died of a coma, and I feel like if I could have been there, I could have prevented her from being with the people she was with and stopping that from happening, but I left the state, and it's been haunting me for years.
Well, don't do that to yourself, because it would have happened either way, whether that situation or another situation in which she would have left. So don't do that to yourself. It's bigger than you.
I've heard that before. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Very good. Wild card, Nicole in Dallas, Texas. Hi there, Nicole.
Hi. How are y'all doing?
We're okay.
I am so excited to talk to both of you. Thank you all for what you do. I had several questions, but the one I'm going to ask is the one I promised I would ask if the phone rang to get through to you. Anyways, I am 46 years old, and I was born on September 20th, 1964. I have a grandmother that committed suicide on September 20th, 1946. I suffer severely from depression. I'm okay today, but I'm just trying to figure out what the connection is. I mean, could I possibly be her reincarnated? I don't think that I am, but I'm like, what is the deal? I feel like I have to be strong and survive this life.
Right. So there's definitely a soul group situation going on. And maybe you can live out certain things that she wanted to that she wasn't able to. And you also might pick up inspirationally information from her that she's trying to inspire you to do certain things with your life that maybe she would have done if she stayed on this physical earth.
Yeah, but I don't know anything about her because suicide was considered a sin in my family.
Well, you know what? Just do what your heart tells you. She'll speak to you that way. Just do what your heart tells you. And never doubt yourself, honey. You doubt yourself way too much. And you waste so much energy when you limit yourself. Never limit God.
Yeah, that's true.
I know.
You've been there.
Yep, for sure, for sure.
Your life will be much fuller if you don't limit God.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. James, before we take final calls, tell us about your speaking engagements and your book signings.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, on my website, vanprague.com, is a calendar of all my speaking engagements around the country.
Makes it easy.
But also, George, I want to mention, if you'd let me, I'm doing a cruise in September. It's a big cruise. It's celebrity cruises have knocked down $2,000, so it's like $1,000 or something for a room. It's me going to the Mediterranean. I'm teaching seances, spiritualism, contacting spirit, reincarnation. And for anybody of your listeners who want to talk about those things with your classes, spend the time with like-minded people, it's in September. Some really great, great prices, I promise. So go on my website. All the details are there.
A Mediterranean cruise.
A Mediterranean cruise in Israel, and I think Egypt might pop in there.
Interesting. Sounds like
so we're going to do some great past life stuff, too.
Fun time in addition to all that.
And fun time, too. We'll be doing our workshops when we're at sea, so people get a chance to go to the different locations as well.
Let's go to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, home of Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, first-time caller. Hey, Ron, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This has been an interesting show. I've been sitting here listening. It's been very interesting. My question is, the Bible teaches us that, straight and narrow is the path to heaven and broad and wide is the road to hell. You've talked about so many people that's come back with spirits from heaven and so forth. Do you ever get anyone that come back to tell you what hell's about and how?
Well, it's a good question. And I personally have found for many years of doing this that there is no such thing as man-made religions. They're man-made religions, remember. So man-made religions, I think all religions have bits of the truth, but not any one religion has all the truth. The one which I love is the Golden Rule, which I think is very true, and because what we give out, we get back, and because we're all God. So I do believe that the good and the love that you show is God. I think fear is, it can be hell, if you will. I don't believe in a brimstone. I don't believe in the brimstone fire. I think hell is fear-based. I think it's negativity. So I haven't had that. I've had a lot of regret from spirits, though. A lot of people saying, if only I knew how much I should have loved myself more. And in other words, that translates to, I wish I knew God better. So that's what the closest thing I've had to that.
And how about the old feeling of living every day like it's your last?
That's exactly right, George. And I got that very, very clearly with my last book, Unfinished Business. No should'ves, would'ves, or could'ves. If tomorrow was your last day, what would you do today to make your life proud?
You got that right. James, thank you so much for being on the program. James Van Praagh, Growing Up in Heaven. For Dan Galante, Will Wilkerson, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasore, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norris, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.